Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's BudPod 264.
264, Weetabix on the floor. You're a young parent. There's Weetabix on the floor. What are you going to do? This is us pivoting, Pierre, into the parenting podcast sphere, space.
Yeah, it's very lucrative.
Very lucrative. And so I'm just trying to open the episode with some relatable observations about when Weetabix is thrown onto the floor by your bloody kids that you love, but you also regret having. Is that? I think that's the vibe, right? Of millennial parenting content.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people said it couldn't be done without either of us having kids, but I think we've done a pretty good job so far, and I think we're showing that you don't necessarily need to have kids or even be married to have a podcast about being married and having kids.
No, I don't think so. I think as long as you have sort of the cadences.
Uh-huh.
Correct. And
yeah.
I mean, look, I'm fumbling in the dark here. I've never listened to any parenting podcast.
No,
I'm not a parent myself.
No, but look, we have enough creative imagination.
Yes,
that we can think to ourselves. Yeah, Weetabix on the floor.
Yeah,
and then I guess we do a feature. We could do a feature where we talk about what stuff we've eaten after it's been on the floor. And then we do a big thing about it. It changes, doesn't it, when you're a mum or a dad? When you'll just eat something right off the floor. Like you just brush off the hair and you just eat it because you're in a rush. Yeah.
I think we'd make a wonderful parenting podcast. What would we call it? Centrist Dads would be a good parenting
Centrist
podcast.
Dads.
And how we apply centrism to parenting.
Yeah. How to teach your kids about nuclear power.
Yes. And the evils of murder.
Yeah.
We'll be the only anti-murder parenting podcast.
The only one. They have been just as silent as all other podcasts about their stance on murder.
Yeah, when our kids scream at us, we just go, well, come on now, let's be reasonable. Let's play the argument, not the man, all right?
Yeah.
Let's not succumb to the heckler's veto here. Just because you have the loudest voice doesn't mean you should get the applesauce.
Yeah,
right
and don't
now.
Murder each other.
Yeah, and don't murder each other.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
I think it would be good. Yeah, Centrist Dads would be good.
Speaking of childhood, Pierre.
Oh, yeah.
I received...
Two peas in a pod if we were living in some sort of pod together.
Oh, yes. Like a polycule or something.
Yeah, if we started some sort of warehouse-based cult family.
Two peas in a polycule would be such a great podcast. For our next podcast, Two Peas in a Polycule. Just interviewing our various partners.
It
takes so many episodes. Yeah.
And starting off stories by saying, as regular listeners may know, I have 17 husbands. And that can get tough. That can get busy. You know, we have all the problems that any other relationship of two people has as a group of 18. Whose turn is it in the hammock? Who forgot to scrub the cooking galley? Brackets, we have to run it like a ship. There's too many people to run it like a house. We save a lot of money. We run it like a ship. A lot of mass cooking.
Ugh, yeah, there must be. I feel like living in a polycule is mostly eating soup. Like, I always imagine it like, you know, when you see a travel show.
A lot of stew in the polycule.
A lot of like big pots and ladles, because surely that's how everyone is fed, right? I always imagine it like, you know, those sort of Hindu temples where they'll feed 1,000 people a day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and pilgrims. It's all like dolls and it's like it's like a factory situation almost.
Look,
they have to feed so many people. That's how I always imagine a Polycule's kitchen.
Phil, if me and my 17 husbands all chip in a bit, it's actually not that expensive to get one of those big heated rock naan stoves.
Oh yeah.
And then you just have fresh naan as part of the like you say, the sort of Henry Ford assembly line to feed everyone in the warehouse.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think there's ever going to be a Polycule so big that you stop recognizing people? You go, wait, who's the dinner lady today? Whose wife is that?
yeah, basically. And then you eventually just invent a town. Congratulations, everyone. You invented a town.
We're a town where everyone fucks. We've accidentally made a big sort of fuck town, USA.
But then who will be who will be the first Polycule visible from space? That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a race. It's a dead heat between the cool parts of New York and the cool parts of London, I think. Berlin maybe as well.
Yeah, but it always ends up being Midwest America, right? I mean the places where these freaky little communities become too big and become cults. With armies is like America.
Yeah, it is like Idaho. But what that's a good point. I suppose the thing that makes a Polycule not a sex cult is that there is never really a leader.
Ah, okay, yeah. A Polycule is usually sort of Marxist in nature, would you say?
They definitely can be. I think there's a lot of underpinning of that. I would be amazed to knock on the door of a big old warehouse of a Polycule and to find that everyone in there was like a like a fairly solid Keynesian sort of big government capitalist.
Yeah.
A big picture of FDR on the wall of the warehouse. Big Roosevelt. Well,
I mean, what is a Polycule if not the collectivization of sex?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's it. And
sex is their grain, and everyone has to throw theirs into the big basket in the middle, and everyone helps themselves. Just speaking about children, as we were earlier, my mother in Malaysia has been going through old family memorabilia and documents, and she's found some of my old homework.
Oh, really?
From when I was 12 years old. And so this is six. Okay, so I was in six Rafflesia. Yeah, it's a primary six. My classroom was Rafflesia. Oh yeah, it was. Which is the national flower of Malaysia. And
so you're okay, 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a poem I wrote.
A poem.
And I have to say, every stanza has a tick, Pierre. Every stanza. So the title.
every stanza, the teacher was going, yeah, still a poem.
Still a poem. He hasn't dropped the ball yet. Okay, so the title, Pierre, is My Life as a Student.
Oh, okay. It's also biographical.
Yeah. Write what you know, right? Even back then, I knew this.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is my poem, 12-year-old Phil's poem, My Life as a Student. The rustling of pages, of books and other things.
Okay.
A good and proper education in your life are your wings. Up in your mind, many thoughts lurk, encouraged by lots of things, including your work. The life of a student has not much to favor. But wonderful and priceless are the fruit of your labor. The daily toil of a student is of a constant need. This is if you want to be independent when you're 18. That is, if you want to be independent when you're 18, when you're officially freed. The ring of the bell is a righteous cry. The beginning of the ending of fun. Okay, so you got that? The beginning of the ending of fun.
Oh.
And although every second passed a second less to freedom to fly, the first ring means school has just begun. And although a good mind is precious and will take you very far, once I leave college, I'm becoming a WWF superstar.
Wow. Man, what a twist. What a twist. You could have given me 1,000 years and I would not have...
I didn't see that coming when I reread it. I knew I was obsessed with WWF at the time and genuinely thought I was going to be a wrestler, but I didn't think I just threw in surprise end lines of poems about being a wrestler into poems that were otherwise about school and sort of the... And sort of the the jail like atmosphere of school.
But
I would end it as I didn't think I ended those as wanting to be a wrestler too.
No, well here. So may I analyze your poem?
Yes, please. I was hoping you would. Well, I do have to say, in my defense, as good as most tat poems. As good as most poems told at weddings.
I think that I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. The sort of reversal of sentences and clauses to make them rhyme. Wonderful and priceless are the fruits of your labor. You know, putting the adjective first so that you can end on the rhyme and making up and sort of forcing all these rather unnatural sentences in order to stay in the rhyme scheme.
Yes.
That's the kind of thing they do at weddings all the time. Adults, right, at weddings.
Yes. This would be a great poem at a wedding if someone was getting married to a school. Or like between two headmasters, and a headmaster and a headmistress or whatever, then that would be a great poem to read. The things I liked about it were, I liked how early on when you were trying to deal with the matter of education and inspiration, you very much went for, you threw the word things around a lot.
The rustling of pages. Oh yeah, it did. The rustling of pages of books and other things. A good and proper education in your life are your wings. Up in your mind, many thoughts look, encouraged by lots of things.
Lots of things.
Your work. Yeah, quite, you're right.
I quite like just going, a lot of things, a lot of things. There's a lot of things popping up in your head. And it's just like you're being inspired by these things. That I liked. And then I like, there's a sort of a, there is a jail-like aspect to education in it, but the tone of the whole thing is almost like, we must all go to jail. Like, it's sort of a mournful necessity, and you appreciate the duty, and at no point in the poem do you deny that the jail is for a good reason. In fact, you're at pains to emphasize.
Exactly. Yes, I am. I even begin the poem with an appreciation of education in its most fundamental
yes.
elements, pages, books, and things
that are in your head where your thoughts are lurking. And
I also like up in your mind.
Up in your mind.
Just in case the reader has forgotten where the brain is, up in your mind. It's not down in your mind.
No. It's up from where you are in some metaphysical sense.
From where the poem is, I suppose, when you're holding it.
It's up here, yeah. From where your eyes are looking, from when you read the poem, your mind is up. But it makes it all the better that you very solemnly go through the reasons for education and why it's necessary and why it's good and all that it can bring you, and that it's a burden, but we must all do it for these reasons. And then right at the end, you just fuck it all into a bin. Fully reject it in favor of one of the stupidest careers possible. Until the final line, Phil, it could have been written in 1750.
I know.
It could have been written by a really, really studious cleric from like an empire far away. It could have been translated from Hindi. It could have been translated from Imperial French.
You're right. The rest of the poem up to the point has been written almost like at pains to avoid anything that places it in any time, any age. It looks like I've really gone through a lot of effort to make it a timeless poem.
Yeah, and it's the eternal life.
I talk about pages, books, so your mind, thoughts, duty, freedom.
Yes.
Timeless ideas.
It's the timeless struggle of the student.
I could
easily read this poem carved into an obelisk from Egypt 5,000 years ago. In the British Museum, people would be like, "But who was responsible for running the Pharaoh's kingdom in order to correctly tax the people under the Pharaoh and to organize the army to fight the Babylonians and the Assyrians? A large clerical class had to be created, and they were administered and they had exams." And you go, "Oh, wow, interesting." And then you'd read this poem and you'd be like, "Wow, not so different from today." And then the one thing that just dynamites that entire impression is to say, "But I will become a WWE superstar." Like, it's been graffitied onto the obelisk in the museum in fucking marker pen. This insane modern. Also, like, nothing in the poem about, you know, I'm already lifting a lot of weights. I'm bulking. I'm getting really strong.
Also, what's funny to me, Pierre, is you can't see, but you know, like I said, every stanza has a little tick in red pen from the teacher.
Yeah.
And like each, so the end of the first stanza, education, your life are your wings, tick. A lot of things, your work, tick. And at the bottom of each one, it's just this tick. And then right at the bottom, I'm becoming a WWF superstar. Identical tick. It's all been consistent. Like it's almost like the teacher was expecting this conclusion. Right? Yep, and there you go. Very good.
And there's the catharsis. He has been betrayed. Like, it's a classic plot, you know?
That's it, yeah.
Yes, and there, and right at the end of the poem, the son must replace the father. Yes. That's good. Like, as they're going
at the end, the student becomes a professional wrestler. Correct. There we go.
Just going, your books, you have to use books to inspire you and give you new thoughts. Yes, that's right. It's important to learn these things so that you can be independent when you're older. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, that's wonderfully put. There's a very rigid structure around education. It can be quite restricting to the idea of your freedom. Yes, that is true. That's the price we pay. I will be a wrestler. Yes, very good. There's no stopping there. But it would be amazing if at the bottom in red it just said, "What the hell?" Just right at the last line. What?
I've also done a drawing in this poem on one side.
Oh,
and
good.
Yeah, I think this sort of indicates that I might have had some sense of humor about this, because it's a book, and at the top says UPSR, which was sort of the name of the exams we were building up towards in Malaysia, the UPSR. Yeah. And so it's UPSR textbook, and then in the middle it says professional wrestling textbook.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so I think from this we can safely assume the author had some self-awareness about his work and about the subject matter.
It's one of the great difficulties of using something like poetry to analyze the historical record, because if you find a long poem that goes on and on about how solemn and dedicated it is, it's very hard to discern irony across hundreds of years.
Mm.
It has to be very overdone for you to sort of go, okay, he's kind of making fun of how much work there is to do. I think the twist at the end really makes it into a satirical work.
She's also sent me a report card from my GCSE school when I was boarding in Brunei.
Yeah.
From a report from my form tutor, Mr. Turner. Good egg, Mr. Turner. He was a submarine man. He used to work in the Royal Navy in the submarine.
Oh, cool.
He was very short, so the joke was he never had to duck in his submarine. and The deputy head of school or head of principal here has written, "The term excellent seems the only way to describe your results and comments. Good luck for the future, Phil. I look forward to hearing about you." I just crushed it, Pierre. I was crushing it all the time.
Yeah.
I would look forward to school to reports. From Mr. Turner himself, "Once again, Philip has produced a report that highlights the very exacting standards he sets himself. In some subjects, he has even improved, namely English literature and language and music. Just as impressive is his effort grade, with nothing below good. To ensure his success, Phil must plan and implement a carefully thought out program of revision." This is what the teachers always... I always thought this was bullshit. The tutors who had... For the kids who could not improve, and the tutors had no advice to give, they would just say, "The important thing now is that he revises." And I'd read it and go, "Yeah, I fucking know, man." "What do you think? I was just going to stop here."
"Who are you?"
But they got
to
write
something. "Who are you talking to? Who do you think you're fucking talking to, Mr. Turner?"
"I've been Philip's form tutor for the last 2 years and have had the pleasure of seeing him mature both academically and as a young man."
Sexy.
Very sexy. He has played a full role in tutor group and the house system. Mm. "Of course, most of the school remember Philip for his wonderful voice. Oh. I've got an original copy of a CD in the hope it might be worth money in times to come when Philip has made it big as an entertainer." Well, he was sort of half.
Yeah.
He sort of half had it there.
Pretty close,
"I know Philip will be missed by his many friends and wish him well for his final examinations and for his studies in Bath." So this is when we knew we were moving to Bath.
Yeah.
And after school activities included barbershop choir, philosophy, and football.
Again, a real left turn at the end with football.
Yeah, basically everyone had to do football. We had this massive field, and it was basically like a North Korean military parade every afternoon, because the whole field just be full of kids and just people just running, doing football. Like, there's so many separate football pitches set up.
I think what's funny is that it's so hard to explain to people that you can have had a report like that and still want to be a fucking clown, you know?
But even then you could tell. I mean, the clues were there the whole time, Pierre.
Yeah.
WWF superstar.
Yeah.
I will appreciate Phil's wonderful singing voice. Embedded in all this stuff about academia are these little hints of what was truly to come, or was bubbling under the surface.
Yes, a desire to be silly and to not have to do as much work.
That's it. And certainly to not have to make a revision plan.
No. God, even those words sent a chill down my spine.
Revision plan? I don't know, man. I'll just revise for the exam that's coming up, shall I, buddy? I always hated those.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I know when my exams are. I know which books they refer to. I'll read them then. I always knew it was for the benefit of other students, not me. But I got annoyed about it.
I wanted to say
to the tutor, "If you don't have anything to say, just don't say anything. Just say great and then leave it. You don't have to make up this. Philip needs to make sure now to." I know. Don't just say all fantastic. It's fine.
It's all for the parents' benefit.
Yeah, but it's also so that they can say, "I am doing something.
I told you to revise."
And he did. Good.
Well, good. And you didn't. It's not my fault. I told you.
Yeah.
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 I think school was the first time I saw someone put more effort into a plan than into the execution of the plan.
Oh, yeah. There are always those students who had their exam timetables, revision timetables,
so
they put it on like fucking...
It was like
a serial killer.
Yeah, hunting the Zodiac.
Notes and... Yeah, exactly.
It was like Zodiac with all these dates and the things.
Color coding and highlighters. Oh, my God. Some of the color... some of these kids, the highlighters they had. Colors I'd never imagined before. Now, colors I'd never knew existed.
I saw one that was blue.
Oh, yeah.
A blue highlighter.
I've seen... I went to school with girls who blasted past blue, Pierre. We're talking mauve. We're talking violet. We're talking neon green.
Yeah, the green. That was a big one. And it did seem to be mainly a girl thing.
Yeah.
Big, organized, personal binder. A lot of highlighters, a lot of different colored pens for different things.
Yeah, I took on the highlighting of textbooks sort of later on in my academic career, only to then hear or read or find out that there's no evidence that highlighting helps you learn or retain knowledge at all, and it might actually be detrimental.
It's just for finding it when you're flicking through the book, I suppose. That's the most I could say for it. Definitely, it's not like, well, of course, I've read that more powerfully now because of the colors.
Yes. That, but I always found they ended up highlighting so much, it defeated the purpose.
The whole page is...
it turns out I need to know all of this. So I've just highlighted the whole book.
I'm just going to dip this book in highlighter ink in a like a trough. Just bloop. Okay, now
you have,
I know.
Like, one of those like paint spray guns they use for painting cars, and you're just flicking from one page to the next.
This book is like sopping with highlighter ink. Now I know. Now I know what I need to know.
How did that report card compare to maybe yours, Pierre, at a similar age?
It sounded pretty avuncular. I don't know if mine would have been avuncular.
It was quite avuncular.
It was quite avuncular. I think mine would have been avuncular like that from teachers who I got on with.
Right. But it's probably more formal. I mean, more formal, older school.
I remember I had a teacher who, like, regardless of my grades, was obsessed with the fact that I had bad handwriting.
Oh, yeah, one of those. I'm looking at the handwriting of my poem there, Pierre, from when I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
No lie, exactly the same as now.
Really?
Exactly the same. My handwriting's always been exactly the same. Never nice, but always readable. Always clear, but ugly. Chicken scratch.
Always a bit weird.
I think
weird
Mr.
And
Turner
spidery.
Actually always called it chicken scratch.
Yeah, well, mine always looked a bit haunted.
Yes, yes, mine look haunted.
Like the writing you'd find in the drawer of a desk in an abandoned mansion.
Yes. And this is interesting. I'd never seen anyone write like me until when I was writing my book, Side Splitter, still available. I was sort of looking at old photographs of my grandfather and my mother's side, so my English grandfather. And on the backs of some of these photographs, he'd written where he was, what the date, what he was doing. And his handwriting is exactly like mine.
Oh, weird.
Really weird. It's spooky when I saw it. I was like, oh my God, I've never seen this hand. I'd never seen my handwriting in anyone else before. Then my grandfather has the exact same handwriting.
Was it exactly the same in a particular weird letter formations that you did? Or?
Yeah, and the spacing between letters and sort of where the loops went and... Mm. Yeah, it's really weird. It looked exactly the same.
That is odd.
It was really odd. And I this is not something that I thought was fundamental enough to like skip a generation like that. And maybe it's coincidence, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it certainly seemed that way
like,
to me.
Something to do with like teaching methods that has coincidentally stuck around.
But he and I had completely different teaching in completely different countries at completely different times. He never taught me to write.
No. Well, where did he go to school?
My grandfather went to school in England, in Derby.
Yeah. Well, maybe, you know, you're enough of the colonial British, I don't know. Yeah.
But then I've never seen anyone else with it.
It is spooky, that kind of
thing. It sounds far-fetched that kind of thing would be genetic, but I don't know. It did seem that way.
Yeah, it is odd, that kind of thing where like your parents tell you that you've got a mannerism that's the same as one of their parents, and you've never, in my case, often never met that person. Genetics is a very frightening area.
It's mysterious.
Yeah.
What is nature? What is nurture?
I had some teachers who were, I would say their approval of me was begrudging.
Why?
Because I was annoying. I was a.
Were you? I thought you was like quiet and studious and well behaved.
I was quiet socially, but I would, if I thought a teacher was wrong about something, I would argue with them or ask them. I would ask them quite, you know, direct questions about it.
I was like that with religion in Malaysia, my schools. The religious teachers would like me for being a well behaved, intelligent boy, but confounded my atheism, my 11-year-old atheism.
And it was the noughties, the golden age of atheism.
Yes, I was part of that gang. It was me.
Yeah.
My names are escaping me today. Christopher Hitchens.
Yes.
Richard Dawkins. Little chubby 11-year-old Phil Wang in Borneo.
The
telling
M'lady
Miss Marina
guy.
There was no God. Poor Miss Marina. She was such a good egg. Really sweet lady, Miss Marina. She showed us all a bootleg copy of Passion of the Christ far too young, but she was a good egg.
Well, that's one of the early things on this podcast where we were discussing the sheer international appeal of anti-Semitism.
Yes.
And your classmates saying Jews to the moon after being...
Yeah, one particularly odd classmate who always had a sort of sociopathic glint in his eye.
Yeah, a frog torturer.
But in his defense, he was a child, and it was that movie that was known among adults as an anti-Semitic movie.
A child reacting to adult propaganda.
Yes, the fault was not his.
Yeah, I think that's fair. If you show a child incredibly graphic adult propaganda and they go, well, I see the point, then what it is a chilling illustration of the effectiveness of the propaganda, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oi, oi, oi. Yeah, religious studies.
And also such like an ancient, like the God killers, that the most ancient anti-Semitic tropes.
Yes, yes.
It was... well and truly alive in the Hollywood movie in the 20th century.
Yeah, in the 21st century, you could give someone a prejudice from a story that was used to inspire prejudice in probably the year 30 or whatever. Or not 30, but yeah, I guess
it would have been 30. It was
the year 70.
Yeah.
You go, wow, this is an effective prejudice. My God.
Well, still going, huh? Still going.
Yeah. Well, speaking of ancient bigots,
who are incredibly still at it,
we should
still
do some
going
correspondence.
Yes,
yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We have heard from an anonymous Washington, D.C. based near Pistorian.
Wowee! Mr. President. Could it be? That's yes. Why he's always so distracted. He's waiting to get back to the next episode of Bud Pod.
That's it, yeah. I gotta listen to my podcast, Jack. He's super into... He's got a bum life mug that he's gonna drink from during the debates, and it's gonna inspire a lot of
analysis. He's got a little sign on his desk in the Oval Office that says, "The bum stops here."
Everyone's too certain he has dementia to question it. And actually, it's from a podcast. Maybe when our generation goes senile, that's what we'll use to cover up our flubs. We're trying to cover up from going senile. And our kids will be like, "Dad, I told you that his name was Derek." And you go, "I know, I was referencing a thing from a podcast."
You wouldn't know.
It's a podcast from ages ago. Okay. And it was a Patreon-only episode, so there's you can't find out.
Wow, okay, so we've got a DC insider.
Yeah, we got a DC insider. The subject line is, don't cry, just call and solve problem.
Okay. Don't cry, just call and solve problem.
Mm. Dear G, yeah, so smelly, and I've... Yeah. Dear... Hang on, this... My oh no, my pop shield has fallen off, which is not a euphemism.
Oh no, you can't protect yourself from pops. You're now vulnerable to pops.
Never been more pop vulnerable in my life. Okay, there we go. Dear G, you're so smelly, and I feel like wanking it.
Yeah, yep. It works. Fair enough.
Finally, an excuse to email BudPod despite my boringly continent and blissfully tat-free life.
It's funny, a life being referred to as continent instead of content. Most people want a content life.
Yeah.
Our listeners. Yeah, not our beleaguered listeners. Just a continent one would be good.
Beleaguered is really funny. Like a politician with scandals, set upon by diarrhea. Just beleaguered. I recently listened to the episode in which a listener emailed in about junk mail from a problem-solving sheikh.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, I remember that. That's a while back.
By coincidence, only a few days after listening to that episode, I came across the attached poster in Kampala, Uganda.
Ah!
Which I am currently visiting for work, which makes similar problem-solving claims.
Ah!
So, let's see...
What a jet-setting DC lifestyle. I wonder, maybe they are the ambassador to Nigeria.
Oh.
Of Nigeria.
Or just maybe an assassin.
Oh, all that.
So here's the poster from Uganda. Okay, are you ready?
Oh, shit, did I say Nigeria?
Yeah.
I heard Nigeria. I meant Uganda.
It's all the same to you, Phil.
It's all the same to me.
So... Dr. Jamil.
Okay.
That's what it says at the top. It's text only. I don't know if you can see. It's just a block of text.
Oh, yeah. Very dense. Yeah.
So, Dr. Jamil, traditional healer. And then a mobile number. And the Dr. Jamil is offering you seven things, Phil.
Okay.
Seven services. Number one, to bring back lost lover.
Okay.
You had a lover. You lost them.
You don't know where you put them.
They were in the shopping mall with you getting a frozen yogurt and now they're gone. So, bring back lost lover. Number two, bring back lost properties.
Okay. Okay, this is sounding pretty handy.
Number three.
But this is a because they're called Jamil, Dr. Jamil.
Dr. Jamil, yeah.
Okay, bring back lost properties is, I would say... Out of the remit of a doctor. Bring back a lover. I can make this stretch, but just finding your stuff?
Finding some keys. We need a surgeon on this. Well, number three, manpower.
Oh, so just like not a dog's body. Just like helping you move a sofa.
There's a space between man and power. So I'm unclear on what manpower. Like, maybe it just means, like, being manly. Having a boner? Is this boner again?
It must be. All these adverts usually have at least some allusion to virility. A healthy virility.
Well, step number four, penis enlargement. Very clear. There we go.
There you go. He teased us with the manpower.
Manpower.
He's not hiding anything anymore. No. It's dick enlargement.
Number five, this is a curious combination. I don't think I would have expected these things to go together such that they should all just be in number five. Okay?
Mm, okay. Wow, okay.
Stop smoking and win games.
What? Stop smoking and win games?
Stop smoking and win games.
This implies that he sees a connection between smoking and the inability to win games.
Yeah, games isn't. I guess like stop.
I guess
smoking.
Sport maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
You probably would start to win more games in sport if you stop smoking, but like I don't
poker.
Know. Poker, yeah. Chess,
chess,
snakes and
yeah.
ladders. Are you sick of losing at snakes and ladders?
Stop smoking.
Well, you better put yeah.
Stop smoking.
Put the Marlboro Red down, son.
It would be a very funny thing, warning to see on a packet of cigarettes in a Western country. May damage chess performance. You will lose more games. Step number
the only
five,
thing is it probably helps. It just focuses you in a way, I reckon.
Yeah, that's true.
I think if you yeah, that's the annoying thing.
Stop smoking and win games. That's number five. Number six.
Why?
Now, this is written as kind of misspelled as bareness in women, but I think it's barrenness, so like infertility. So that's
okay,
more
yes.
like a doctor area. We're back to a traditional doctor area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Step number six, court and land issues.
Court and land issues?
Yeah, land disputes, ownership of land and legal troubles.
Ah, okay. Not as opposed to seafaring issues.
Issues of the land, boy.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
I know nothing of land boy. Issues. I only know about sea issues. Like if you say to a sea captain, yeah, the trouble is that me and my wife were redecorating our front room. Front room on a ship? No, in our house. These are land issues. No, I'm afraid I cannot help ye. I cannot help ye with this. It's a houseboat. Ah, oh, now we're talking. Number seven, customer attraction in business. Now,
okay, marketing, PR.
Yeah. Marketing and PR, yes. Yeah, and who's better to learn from in terms of marketing and PR than a guy with such a threatening poster on a random fucking electricity pole?
Well, it got to us. It got to us.
It's global, Dr.
It's
Jamil.
Global. He's gone international.
So, this is the Dr. Jamil one that our anonymous listener has sent us, and he continues. He, they. I actually don't know. No, I'm not sure. They. But, bum... chums, through my travels, I know this to be a global phenomenon. As evidence, I attach number one, a poster I came across in Accra, Ghana, a few years ago, and two, a newspaper ad I saw in India.
Huh.
Where I'm originally from. A clue.
Ah.
So, here is the Ghana one. It's quite a poster. My word. No, can that be the Ghana one? Oh, I see why that he was... They are clarifying which one is from India, because the Ghana one is pretty Indian. There's a giant picture of... who is the cross-legged blue god?
Oh.
Do you know
what
one I mean?
What head? Do they have
human head, a kind of leopard print? This guy.
Oh,
you
Shiva.
Know this guy.
I think
it does
Shiva.
Look like Shiva, doesn't it? I'm not sure though. Okay, so here's the poster.
Oh, it might be Vishnu actually.
Vishnu, blue guy sitting down. Vishnu. Okay, here we go. So there's a picture of Vishnu. This is in Ghana. This is not the Indian one, Phil.
Interesting.
And it says, the World Ancient Spiritual Society, the Inner Circle, Indian Mystic Spiritual Temple.
Interesting. Well, it is sort of heartening to hear that sort of Hinduism is appropriated for spirit to sell spiritual stuff in Ghana as well as here. It seems like a global thing.
Yeah. Using India as a source for woo-woo is a global fetish.
Yeah.
No one is safe from nominally Indian gibberish. So these are the people who are welcoming you to something, Phil. This is the organization.
Mm.
Excuse me. The World Ancient Spiritual Society,
space, the inner circle, next line, Indian mystic spiritual temple.
Gosh.
Welcome you to Chief King of Truth.
Okay.
I would say these people need to slim down on the titles.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I think they need to talk to the Buddhists and practice their ability to lose possession of words because they've collected too many words.
Yeah, yeah, Chief King of Truth is enough. I'm already paying attention. If you say I'm talking to the Chief King of Truth, I'm already interested.
The Chief King of Truth.
Yeah.
Chief King.
The Chief King.
Chief King, the Chief King.
Yeah. There's other kings of truth, but this is the main one, which is reassuring.
Yes, great.
Consult us for all your spiritual problems, such as... And these are a list of... it says there's a list of spiritual problems, but...
You keep losing your snakes and ladders.
Yeah.
And imagine all of them is like games. You just suck at games. You can't suck win a board game to save your life. You come last in Ticket to Ride every fucking time.
So here are the problems. Rich without ritual.
Oh, quite like that as wordplay.
Rich without ritual, yeah.
But yeah, what does that mean? Rich without ritual. So you become rich, but I see what you're thinking. This is going to need me to do a big ritual. This the way we do it, you just get rich. No ritual required.
We've found a way to get rich ritual free.
You know how your neighbor's a multimillionaire? Well, of course he is. He has rituals all the time.
Yeah.
But you don't have time with your busy schedule to be putting on a ritual every day.
Have you seen?
Well, we've got the answer.
Oh, he might earn $1 million a year, Phil, but have you seen the outlay on these rituals?
The overheads on these rituals, my God. Gods, sorry. The overheads on these rituals.
Yeah. Business success charm, winning contract, initiation.
Initiation?
Yeah, that's threateningly vague.
Yeah, they really sneak that in, huh?
Yeah.
Initiation. We'll make you rich. We'll make you happy. Initiation.
Ask without refusal. Commanding charm ring. Love attraction. Do as I say.
What? No, it doesn't say do as I say.
Do as I say.
Does it?
That's one of the things you can get help with is do as I say. Actually, ask without refusal is do as I say.
But is this are they just seeding in like NLP phrases into this advert?
Yeah, maybe.
Because what was the one before the initiation? Do as I say.
Initiation, ask without refusal, commanding charm ring, love attraction, do as I say. Quick marriage, bareness, any type of disease. That's big.
Wow. I would open give you any type of disease or heal you of any type of disease?
Unclear, but either way, impressive. I would open with any type of disease way above do as I say in business without ritual or whatever. Much bigger. Infection, spiritual power for vision, miracles, crowd and healing for women and men of God. That is...
Crowd and healing.
Crowd and healing for women and men of God.
Gosh, okay. Election. Well, what about the medical help that precedes this? The infections and the all diseases?
Any type of disease, then
so that's infection. For people who are not men and women of God.
Yeah, I guess. Presumably. Spiritual power for vision. Which sounds like the kind of thing that like a Deloitte would release.
Yes.
Like a consultant would say, what's our new motto for a company? What about spiritual power for vision? How about that?
Yeah, it's a line from a car advert.
Yeah, exactly. Miracles. Crowd and healing for women and men of God. Election victory. Business success charm. That's twice. That's the second time they've said that. They need to proofread
election
this
Election victory. Politicians are going to this.
Yeah. Game. To change your star to normal mode. I don't know about you, Phil, but my star has not been in normal mode for a very long time now. I'd say it's been in wacky mode.
Goblin mode.
To goblin mode star. My star has been goblin mode for too long. And only the Chief King of Truth can. So I quite like this. This reminds me of the way people talk in South Africa. Underneath this big long list, it says, whatever your problem, come, we must surely help you.
Yeah.
Come.
We must surely help
whatever you. Whatever your problem, come. We must surely help you. And then in much bigger letters, a trial will convince you.
What? God, yeah. this advert, at moments it sounds really helpful and welcoming. And
I'm getting whiplash.
And there seems a real desire there to help me. And then they'll just say something like ritual or initiation or do as I say, and there will be a trial.
Yeah. And then underneath a trial will convince you, it says, delay is dangerous.
Whoa. Oof. Yeah. Act now, basically.
Yeah. So then, ding, dong, ding.
We'll have to blast through the India one.
Yeah, I'll blast through it in one big go.
Okay.
Call and get solution. Are you in problem? All India, open challenge. Don't cry, just call and solve problem. Nothing is impossible for me. Problem like business, fortune tours, love affairs, husband and wife queries, real estate divorce, intercaste love marriage, family dispute, court case, sickness, woman enemy.
Whoa.
Whoa. Woman. Finally. If your husband, lover, or son is under anybody's influence, call once. Cheated lovers once call me. A to Z, problem solution. If you have lost faith on astrologer, tantrics, or pandit, the please call Mian Khan.
Mian Khan. The guy's name's Mian
That's
Khan?
That's his name, Mian Khan.
Wow. Pandit. Presumably pandit is the origin of pundit.
Oh, yeah. Good. Great shout. Absolutely. Yeah. A pandit. Yes. Yeah. A soothsayer.
Ah.
Must be. Oh, that's good work. Well done. I like that a lot. Don't just cry. Don't cry. Just call and solve problem.
I like the cut of that one's jib, I have to say. There's a confidence to it.
It literally says, nothing is impossible for me. Now that's the kind of confidence that inspires investment.
What is that style of government, like benign paternalism or something like that?
Yeah.
It sounds like that.
It's very
impressive. I like woman enemy.
Woman enemy. I've got this goddamn woman enemy.
I've been tracking Carmen Sandiego for 15 years.
Please, I've got an enemy.
None of the pundits can help me.
All the pundits, I say to them, I've got an enemy. And they say, sure, no problem. I say, oh, it's a woman. They throw their hands up.
I say she's been sending me postcards and there's like pyramids in them and a sphinx. And I'm like, where the hell is this lady? And then I go there and I get a different postcard and she's by the Eiffel Tower. I swear, I can't get this fucking lady. Please.
She's by the Eiffel Tower, wherever the fuck that is. our anonymous DC insider says, I hope you find pleasure in these treasures. And there are
very much
a quick two PSs. What is they want to know, what is the origin story of the buds?
The buds?
Us, you and me. I imagine you both punting along the cam and colliding each other because you were distracted by a mysterious turd.
Oh, that's cute. That'd be ideal. Well, yeah. I was in the start of my second year and I went to see the Footlights A Virgin Smoker, which is the first show the Footlights put on in the year in Cambridge.
It's a new material night for freshmen, for freshers.
For freshers, for people who've never done a gig in Cambridge before. And Pierre was one of the acts, and he was great. And he looked like he looked like Captain Birdseye. He had a navy coat on. And afterwards I said, well, that was great, man. So are you like a PhD? And he said, I'm 18 years old. And I laughed in his face because he had like a full beard.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe him at all.
Yeah, that was it. Exactly right. That would have been in like early November 2009.
2009, exactly. Whoa. Yep.
Long time.
So that is the origin story.
And PPS, I find your dynamic interesting. Despite being buds and quite opinionated and even mean by Phil's own admission. I remember that episode where you were like, I'm mean. I'm a mean person.
I don't remember saying that, but
something about talking about being mean.
I can.
I'm not nice. I am mean. We're talking about when people think celebrities are nice.
Oh, yeah, I'm not nice.
Despite all this, you never seem to make fun of each other, argue, or even mildly disagree with each other about anything. How come?
How come? We saw a pundit who helped us with our relationship issues.
Yeah, we realized actually it was down to having a woman enemy. Once we got rid of her. Once we got Mian Khan to, I guess, murder her. I don't know what his solution would be.
Show her the error of her ways.
Yeah, to banish her in some way that I'm unfamiliar with.
Yeah. But noted, we will try noted. And we'll try and fight more in the future. As for yes, now, we've run out of time. Quite fantastically.
Bumper episode for you guys.
We'll see most of you next week. We'll see the special Patreons on Friday.
Yeah, in the VIP... have we done Soothsayer already from...
I don't think so. No, probably not. In the VIP Soothsayer booth.
Yeah.
Until next time, see you next time. Bye. Remember to read books and things.
Read books and things.
And study and have thoughts that lurk in your head. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.